This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Fan down with the king topic of the day, and it is Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. And the idea started, I mean, we've talked about this for a while, BT, but it was in the Post with Paul Schwartz writing about it. I saw it this morning talking about how there is a possibility. It's not necessarily Shane and Daboll tied at the hip. There is a possibility the Giants keep Joe Shane and fire Brian Daboll. So there are many layers to this where you could say that you want them both gone, or you could say that you want them both back. To me, the one thing that cannot happen under any circumstance is keeping one and firing the other, especially if they're thinking about keeping Joe Shane and firing Brian Daboll. That, to me, would be a colossal mistake by the Giants.
I've watched them all season like you and like everybody else, and I still haven't identified what the New York Giants do well. They do nothing well, really. I mean, that's just the blunt bottom line assessment. And their offense is historically putrid. And as I said to Sal, you know, start the show, we talked about this obviously, but I think that it could have been far worse aesthetically. Like you could go through multiple layers of the Giants schedule this year, and you could probably go to at least three or four different games where I think the opponents probably could have scored 50. Whether they stop throwing the ball or they just stop being aggressive, it's kind of been mercy. You know, uncle, stop. You know, you got me. So I just think that it's a situation that is really unfortunate. I think we all thought that they had the right guy. That's what's so odd about this. The way it started and the way it is now, like it never started really well with Shermer. It never started well necessarily with Joe Judge, although it got much worse at the end for Joe as he talked himself out of the job. You know, for the Jets, didn't start well with Adam Gase. It didn't start well with Robert Saleh. Like, generally, it doesn't start well, and then it just ends well. It just ends worse, right?
Right.
But the flicker of hope that Brian Daboll shot across the Giants universe was believable. To this day, I don't think we overreacted to, you know, how we chastised and challenged and motivated Daniel Jones week one in Tennessee when he threw that pick in the end zone. Like, it set the tone for their season. And I thought in my mind that it set a course of action for the Giants to become really competitive for a while and then to become borderline dominant. Because I'm sitting there saying, geez, if this guy's like this as a coach, and we saw what he did with Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills, and he's already had this influence on this awful roster, and then the guy that he came with has to be pretty good as well. Like, I thought the Giants were set up, and here they are flat on their face, and I mean, I hate to be callous, but you know where I stand. I wouldn't bring either one back. I don't think they deserve it.
And I do like the idea of staying the course. A part of me still wants to say that. I just can't at 2-12 watching what I have watched. And also, like, for what reason? What good is going to come of staying the course? Do we know definitively that Brian Daboll is going to be better than, let's say, Vrabel or Ben Johnson or whatever other good options out there. Like, I would not fire Brian Daboll for another first-time head coach unless it was Ben Johnson because of his innovative offensive mind.
Mm-hmm.
Daboll has not shown to be that. He's an offensive guy, but the offense is stale. It's awful. You mentioned the worst offense in Giants history, and it's not just because of the bad quarterback or the banged-up offensive line. Like, their offense stinks. The design of it stinks. The Vikings are, what are they, 11-2 now, whatever they are, with a backup quarterback. That's a backup quarterback. The Giants' backup quarterback is Drew Locke. Tommy DeVito, awful. Drew Locke, awful. Daniel Jones, awful. It's not a coincidence that all three quarterbacks, not to mention the new weapons that they brought in, they still can't do anything. Their offense is just not good. So why then, even as somebody who wanted to stay the course, why? What's the good that's going to come of staying the course with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll?
I don't have any. I don't, but I'm also not in the building every day. I'm not. You know, we got a public look into how they do business on Hard Knocks. I don't think that reflected very well on Joe Shane. I know I'm not alone there. And, you know, the owner seemed a little all over the map, like, I'm going to lose a lot of sleep if he goes to Philly, but yet you allowed him to do it, which I appreciate because you hire people, let them do their job. But even with Mara, we got some mixed messaging here. I don't know. I'm going to ask everybody until I can get an answer. I just, if somebody can tell me what the Giants do well, I like to hear it because I watch him every week and I see nothing.
I think the only answer could be, and I thought this for a while too, I'd like to finally see what this regime could do. Well, one would be that I don't think you can properly evaluate a general manager in just 3 years. Now, obviously, Joe Shane, his record is what it is. The drafts are what they are, but it's only 3 years. You really do need at least one more to start to figure out if he's going to be the guy or not. But that aside, I would have liked to have seen this regime draft their own quarterback and develop him. So there's still a part of me that could say, well, BT, I want to see what Daboll could do. But now I go in knowing that what I've seen so far has not been very good in 3 years. Also knowing that that's going to take time as well. So if I'm committing to Shane and Daboll to draft and develop their own quarterback, which is fine, then it's going to be years beyond that. So now I get to the point, okay, well, am I ready to hitch my wagon for another, let's say, 3 years to Shane and Daboll, or just move on from both of them, start from scratch with a new general manager and head coach for the next quarterback and then 3-4 years? Like, that to me is the crux of the decision.
Yeah.
And I think the upside elsewhere outweighs the sustainability and sticking to this regime.
I get that. I do. The other thing, too, is that, and I hear you when you say 3 years is a little quick to evaluate a roster and the general manager, unless there's evidence that clearly they whiffed. And there's enough whiffs here. I mean, Evan Neal might be out of football in 2 years. And as much as, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau certainly was a bit of a spark on this show, I don't know a single Giants fan who's banging the drum saying, oh, I can't wait to sign him to big money. You know, listen, now we can have varying degrees of debate, like, you know, could Kayvon Thibodeau be better? Can he be more well-rounded? And he hasn't been terrible. I'm not saying that at all. But I don't think anybody believes that he's going to be a game wrecker to the point where you justify giving him the big money that edge rushers get. So I think in that case, you can say that they did fail, certainly more with Neal. But then if that's the case and they haven't, because we keep saying we'd like to kind of see them with their own quarterback. But if there's not enough evidence around the roster at other positions, why would we think they would get the quarterback stuff right?
Yeah, wouldn't, but it's just we haven't seen it. Normally what you see is a general manager and head coach get to draft and develop their own quarterback, and ultimately that's how they're judged. First and foremost, it's obviously other stuff like we saw with Joe Douglas, but
I don't think Joe was really judged. If Aaron Rodgers is balling out, Joe Douglas wouldn't be fired, so he's not ultimately judged on Zach Wilson.
Well, but he's also been here much longer.
But
that's, to me, the biggest demerit for Joe Douglas is he missed on the head coach multiple times, but specifically with Saleh, Zach Wilson, and setting them up to fail. That's how most head coaches, general managers are judged, based on the young quarterback that they draft slash develop. We have not seen that. So is it fair to judge this regime on Daniel Jones being their primary guy? The reason why I say I would make a change, because I'm looking at a team and it's not just, well, this quarterback's not making throws. It might have been that at certain points, they're 2-12. It's more than just the quarterback. Also, Drew Locke is not doing anything as a backup. DeVito isn't doing anything as a backup, whereas last year, I saw DeVito look better Tyrod Taylor, they look better at times than the starting quarterback did. Mm-hmm. Last year, I think you had more of a case. This year has just been a total disaster, off the rails. You know, Deontay Banks not tackling, guys talking about the effort and saying they're soft. The defense with some players on it should have been better, and it's not. They changed coordinators defensively. Wink didn't like Dable. Obviously, there were, you know, there was a lack of respect, mutual, whatever it may be.
Kafka, well, that wasn't
the play calling. Like, there's a lot here that adds up in. You know what? Even though I want to stay the course, probably time for a change.
Time for a clean break. Listen, if the Giants were a restaurant, you'd be the customer sitting at your table waiting for 17 minutes for a menu, waiting probably 25 to 30 minutes more than you should for the entree to come out. The waiter would either spill wine on you or drop some sauce on your lap as they're cleaning up the thing, whatever. They make a mistake on the bill. Like, it's just a bad restaurant that I wouldn't go to.
Right, be like, I don't know, but I really heard that, you know, the next special that they make next time we come in is going to be good. Like,
yeah, fantastic. I'm not going to try it.
Yeah, you're holding out hope. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Bruce is in Yonkers. What's up, Bruce?
Gentlemen, Merry Christmas.
You too, Bruce.
Thank you. Here's my take on this Marasheen-Dable mess. The one unknown factor here is, what is the going rate for a quarterback? Could they have signed Jones for $30 million for 2 years instead of $40 million and given the extra $10 million, you know, per year to Barkley and McKinney and anybody else?
No, I don't think that was going to get it done. Just remembering the tone of the negotiations, the anticipated, you know, worth on the open market, that wouldn't have got it done. Nor should it.
But I do remember thinking that I remember talking about it on the overnight. I was like, maybe 30, maybe 32. Like, once he got over that, I was stunned. Even then, off that playoff year. But does that mean, let's just say that they did, Bruce, right? They did save that $10 million and brought back Saquon Barkley. You think Barkley would be doing what he's doing with the Eagles?
No, but he had the potential to if he had an offensive line.
Yeah, but when are they going to fix that? I've been hearing them talk about that with Dave Gettleman. Thank you for the call, Bruce. Since Dave Gettleman took over, we got to get the hog mollies up front. I mean, how many years are we going to go back and talk about it? They haven't been able to do it. The guys that they pick are the wrong guys. The guys that they bring in have been the wrong guys. Thomas is the one right guy that Gettleman got. He can't stay healthy. Every year the guy's hurt for the whole year.
I feel like the Giants offensive line is the single, you know, most glaring unit in all the New York sports that just doesn't get fixed. You know? Like, think about it.
Line hasn't been much better either.
It's been better.
Yeah.
It's been better.
Well, I'm talking about then the Giants just over the course of the last three, it's 5 years, better. Whatever you want to say.
It has been much better, but it's been better. I mean, you know, it's been, and I'm not trying to make the Jets line to be anything special, but I'm not even talking about football. Like, whether it's the Yankees or the Mets bullpen, the Yankees or the Mets lineup, you know, the Knicks finding a score, the Nets finding a score, the hockey team, special teams, goalies. I mean, you name it. You name any aspect of any professional team in our city, and I don't know that there's been a more protracted, more disgraceful, empty pursuit to fix it than the Giants trying to address their offensive line. It's ridiculous.
Mark in Barnegat, New Jersey. What's up, Mark?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, buddy.
Just wanted to let you guys know. I think I told you last. I think you guys have the best show on the Fan by far.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it.
I'm a big fan of it. Couple things, you know, and I definitely want you to tell me if I'm wrong on the second thing. First thing is, where in America, in corporate America, can you do the job that they're doing this year and put a company at risk and cause them the damage that they cause and not have your job in jeopardy, even if you're the GOAT the prior year?
I'm going to give you the quick answer. Mark, I'm going to give you a quick answer. Not every job in America has guaranteed length attached to it. So it is a little more difficult to get rid of somebody when they've got a year or two to go on their contract. It's different than the bank or whatever it might be. You know what I mean?
Right.
Okay. That's
one example. And then the second point I want to make, and I'm not trying to make any, stir up any controversy or something. You guys tell me if I'm wrong. But this whole talk about who the next quarterback is going to be, I've been a Giant fan for a long time. And I'm not saying that Mara is a certain way or the organization's a certain way, but they've had many opportunities to draft a quarterback of color, and they've just never done it. So I don't see it happening. I mean, we could have had Lamar Jackson, who went 32, even though we had the 34th pick. We could have moved up, and we didn't.
Mark, everybody could have had Lamar. Hold on. Everybody could have had Lamar. And I know that you preface it the way that you did it. I appreciate that. That's That's a tough thing to try to litigate on the air. I would never attach that, or nor would I ever drop that at the doorstep of the Giants. I'm not saying that I've never heard that from some fans. You know, would the Giants ever, you know, as a starter, have an African-American quarterback? I think it's, I can't prove it. I think it's nonsense. Well, I don't know what's in people's hearts.
Right.
Well, when it comes to stuff like that, I'm always giving them the benefit of the doubt, because if you don't, now you're labeled a racist and you never come back from that. And I'm not playing that game.
And I would never say they are. And Jerry Reese was the general manager for a long time, a minority, of course, general manager, and he did a good job, you know, until the end, where I thought he started to get away from what was making them good under Ernie Accorsi before him. Yeah, I wouldn't go that way either, but I do. There is a feel that the Giants, such a historic organization, still are operating in the 50s.
Okay, is
now,
it?
I'm not trying to say the race thing.
I got
all.
You. Like antiquated in the sense of how they actually run their offense, or how willing they are to elevate other two very different things.
I don't know. Doesn't it feel like you go from Eli, and they had Geno Smith for a little while. They went away from him, and I don't think ultimately it's a race thing. But it feels like other teams have evolved, and the Giants have not. And maybe it's just a...
How many
head coaches have they hired in the last 5, 10 years, whatever it's been?
5, maybe 4, whatever it is.
Now you're talking about not one minority was good enough to get one of those jobs?
Well, I'm definitely not saying that, but I also know, because you know I've had this discussion a lot,
like
with
Joe
certainly
Judge.
On the national scene. I mean, I hear you. But if that was the Patriots thing and people still thought that there was real value there and it's been disproven, again, I don't know, but I don't know. I know this. The person who ended Eli's streak is an African-American.
Yeah.
It's Geno.
Well, and like I said, Jerry Reese, he was hired.
Probably had an extra year or two that he deserved here.
I don't think it's that, but I still think there might be some. You think the Giants, let me ask you, you think if they had the number one pick, they would fire Dable and hire Deion Sanders and Shador, and take Shador Sanders with
them? I think that they would absolutely take Sanders. I don't think that they would necessarily hire Deion, but I don't think that they necessarily should. Are we sure Deion Sanders could coach?
What do you think the Raiders would do if they had the number one pick?
The Raiders will take, I believe that they will probably go for Deion Sanders and they will hire Sanders.
Okay, now,
they're probably not the best example, because the Raiders, the last 15 years, have been worse than the Giants.
Understood, but
that's a good example.
But you could see the appeal.
They're looking for a splash as well. Giants season tickets are sold. Raiders are not. So there's many things to play with that, Sal.
Yeah, but also just the feel of the organization. Now, for the record, I would not want Deion Sanders as the head coach.
Yep.
But the package of Deion and his son together, with the way the sport has evolved, hard-pressed to find a better combination than that. And he's probably going to come to the NFL, and probably will be to the Raiders. And if the Giants had an opportunity to do that, they probably thumb their nose at that and go in a different direction, maybe a quote-unquote more like safe,
conservative?
Less risk.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe. I do think the Giants are more risk-averse than others, for sure.
Maybe that's the right way to put
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And I'm eliminating the race. I know you are as well. Now, I don't know, is when we say, and you ask me, and I agree, that the Raiders will be more likely to bring in the combination of Deion and his son, is that because they're more willing to hand the reins for the quarterback and the head coach to two African-Americans? Or is it just that they're more, I don't know the answer to that. I just can't imagine that there's anything. I just can't.
Who was
the face of the Giants last year? It was Saquon.
Let me ask you
this
face
way. For years.
No, I get it, but it's different running back versus quarterback or head coach. And again, I'm not trying to make this a race.
I know
Cole brought it up. I don't want to do that. But how many other teams do you think would love the opportunity to have Deion and his son be your guys next year?
My honest answer is not as many as you think. I think it's a little more appealing on the surface. I want the son. I don't necessarily want the dad to come coach. And I don't necessarily want a dad-son dynamic together outside, off a college campus.
Okay. Well, I mean, you think they would take Shador? Forget about then Deion. You think
the Giants? Yeah. I do. 100% I do. Now, and by the way, if they value Ward, who's also African-American, that's different.
Right.
But like now, if they go to the third quarterback and he's white, and the Giants have like the first overall pick, like, we can't take Sanders. Nah, we can't take Ward. We'll take whatever. There's three or four kids in the mix, but there's a big gap between 1 and 2 and 3. Well, then maybe there's a little more weight behind that. I think the Giants are conservative by nature. Like, the Jets are a little more flashy and splashy. The Giants are a little more close to the vest. I don't bring race into it. I just bring the older, I don't know. I don't know if I verbalized that, but I know the Giants aren't racist.
I think the key word is conservative. I think that's the word. It doesn't mean that taking a black quarterback is not conservative. Like, I don't even know.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
But I just feel like the Giants organization is conservative and maybe operates a certain way that to me just doesn't feel evolved to the next level in the way the sport has evolved in so many other places.
I hear you. They're open to, like, the Jets. It's very interesting, Sal. Yeah. You say that, and it sounds right. I know what you mean.
Right, but is there actual...
And we talk about, hey, if you want Shane and Dable back, that's fine, but what are the tangible reasons why? I would flip this to you here as well and say, I know what you mean because I'm from here and I've always felt that the Giants were conservative or not yet fully evolved, but when you say that, it sounds right, but what do you mean? It's just hard. It's a very nebulous thing. Doesn't mean it's wrong. Doesn't mean it's right. But listen, if the Giants have the first pick, they should, and if they don't take Sanders, they're dopes. You have to take Sanders. He's the one.
BT and Sal on the
fan. But not his pops, necessarily.
BT and Sal on the fan. We'll continue with your calls. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal back on the fan, 888-808-1019. The number to call, we'll talk to Baldinger, Brian Baldinger, in his normal spot in about 12 minutes or so, so stay tuned for that. Let's get back to the phones. In case you missed anything, check out on the free Odyssey app. We've been talking Shane and Dable. We talked some Thomas Dimitroff to the Jets. We've also talked some Christmas trees, BT, and the man of the hour that helped me out as you made fun of me yesterday as I have not had the time to find a Christmas tree. Mitchell in Fort Lee went this morning, picked one up, dropped it off. How we doing, Mitch? We're all good with the tree? It's all safe and sound?
Well, great, child. You'll get it home at 8 o'clock and you start decorating the tree tonight. Hi, BT. How are you, my friend?
What's up, Mitch?
Did you put it up in the stand or what?
Well, yes,
it's,
I didn't put it on the stand, Sal, but I didn't get the keys for that. No one was home, so I couldn't help you on that. You'll have to do that on your own time. Well, maybe it's your partner, BT, to come down to your house to help you do it, but that's another one.
Well, Mitch, while you're at it, why don't you go grab the skimmer in the shed and start getting an early early jump on the pool out there, buddy?
Were there any leaves on the front lawn, did you notice, that maybe could be taken care of, Mitch?
Yeah, Sal, you know, maybe I have to work on Saturday, Sunday. You can do a little landscaping there, you know, instead of watching TV all the time.
I do appreciate the help, though, Mitch. Seriously, we do appreciate the help. You have anything on your mind?
Yeah, one last thing before this. I have to tell you one thing. It's a holiday time, and when you can help somebody out to do something, and, you know, especially that your daughter's sick, and, Sal, you've been working on, it was just a nice gesture. I was able to do it. I was close by, so that's why I did it. Well, so it's just a good gesture.
And we appreciate that very much, Mitch. Thank you for the call. It's nice to have good friends.
It's a beautiful thing, and Dove just said in my ear, ask Mitch if he's got some extra candles for the menorah. He could help out on the Hanukkah side as well, since that's what Manny wanted to know, if he gets some assistance with the menorah.
I did ask Mitch, right, if Dove? I don't know if Mitch has ever gotten a Christmas tree before. I asked him, I don't know if he celebrates Christmas.
Oh, they're not celebrating? Gotcha.
Yeah. But anyway, he offered, and I wasn't going to do it, but yesterday when I got home and told my wife that he offered, and I told my wife specifically, I will take off SNY Wednesday. I can't do it today because my daughter's still, like, sick or whatever, and it's too late. So, but if I told them last night, like, cover me for Wednesday, they probably could have done that. Then I'd get home at 3. We'd have time to go shop for a tree together, come home, get some food, put the tree up, whatever.
Yeah.
She said no. And she said, what about Friday? I'm like, by Friday, you might as well just wait till Saturday, and it's already, like, the 20th. And then I told her
about that point, just wait till the 21st, and then just punt to the 22nd, and we'll see a Valentine's Day.
See you next year. Exactly. That was almost in next year range. But then Mitch came in and helped out a friend. So
but hold on, Holly. Yeah. You may have been, I can't prove this, you sound like maybe the only person in the history of civilization who almost requested a day off to get a Christmas tree, as if Christmas just snuck up on you.
Well,
I know you're busy, by the way. Yeah. On a serious note, I get that.
Right.
The juggle's real. You get home late, understood.
The major issues were the two Saturdays that we had open.
Man, we were busy. We were having fun.
Correct.
I got mine up, man.
One I couldn't do. Yeah, I know. Well, you got yours up way before.
Yeah, we got it up. Yeah. Also, even before Thanksgiving.
Did you put it up or your wife put it up?
Well, I did. I clicked it in. No, we to make a big deal out of it, man. Well, put the music on, a little hot cocoa, a little fireplace.
But you didn't have to go shopping for it because you get the
tree. No, it's an artificial one.
It's a hassle going, and plus I'm injured, so I don't know where the hell I'm going.
But you make it seem like
I used to love it.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, my father took care of everything, and I would just be along for the ride.
I got you.
Turn up the music, Dad. No, I don't like that tree. It's got a bald spot.
Yeah, you got to twist it around like you do a little dance, a little pirouette. I actually enjoy. Now, we're busy. So when you go click, 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 and you look up and it's like 9 feet and it's done, 10 feet, it's nice, okay? And then you do all the stuff with the kids. I really love that. But I always enjoyed, you know, going to the lot, doing a little hustle. He wants 50. Right, hey, I'll give you 40 cash.
Yeah, what can we do? You know, right.
Give him a nice little tip when he puts it up on the car.
They got the little
smell.
Peppermint candies or the candy canes out there. And some Christmas music.
Yes. The other thing I would do, I was very good at this. You know how they saw off the base to make it very even?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they actually, if you ask them, they give you a bunch of those. And then I would put them in a big dish. I would bring them back to my mom, and she would put them in a big dish, and it would just emit this beautiful pine scent throughout the entire home. Oh, my God.
Here's what I'm learning about this.
What?
I don't know if I'm the only one who should take the elders Christmas. You haven't gotten a real tree in a while. Have your kids experienced that?
Hey, listen, ask my kids if there's any elves to be handed out. They're winning. Dad, the tree's up.
What you're saying right now is great. Like, going shopping for the tree, and it was fun. I'm with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have your kids experience that. You got to get a real tree. One of your 18 trees in the house should be real.
I don't have 18. We do have more than we used to. We're up to three now. Last year we had two. Now we're up to three. Actually, my daughter has a little one in her room, so I guess three and a half.
But no real ones.
I hear you.
There's something to be said about that.
Yeah, I don't. Listen, they're in school, so they're not hearing this. They don't know what they're missing out on.
Right.
Because they haven't missed out on anything yet because they don't know. But maybe next year, maybe I put the foot down and we keep the artificial one in the basement in storage, or we put that in a different spot. And we go get a real one.
Because it is an experience. And I remember getting jammed up. And the whole thing. Going a different place. I never would want to stop at the first place. It was like a thing to do. So I was going to do that the second Saturday. The day that we went to Saturday Night's Main Event, this past Saturday. But I woke up Saturday morning. My daughter was sick 3 days in a row. My wife said, we're not going.
I know. Well, why didn't you do it on Sunday? Because you were...
Well, I could have done it Saturday morning. But because my wife...
He's laughing. I'll finish. Because he was hungover. That's why.
Well, and also, yes, there was some other stuff that was going on. My wife's still sick, and she was out late. We actually did have some real life stuff that kind of got in the way.
Got it.
But then I was hungover, and there was football Sunday. Saturday, I was doing the garland on the inside. I took care of that more so than outside. And
okay, why can't you go by yourself? I mean, it's nice to have the family come, but...
Yeah, I could have.
Okay.
I chose not to.
That's what I mean.
I know. And Mitch hooked it up. Let's get one more. And Steven is in Harlem. What's up, Steven?
Hey, guys, give me a second to give you a Sal impression reacting to Sal not getting his own Christmas tree. All right?
Yep.
Go for it.
Cool. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. You used to work at Home Depot, and now you can't even remember the Home Depot selling Christmas trees.
It's not bad.
Not bad.
It's loud, right, so it's certainly a start.
Sorry about that.
Not bad, Sal.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Now let me tell you guys a little about my total reaction. All right. So obviously, big Yankee fan over here. Wake up in the morning Monday, hear the news, and I look over at my girlfriend, big Yankee fan. I'm like, you know what? We're just gonna have to watch a lot of 1-0 baseball this year. So I'm happy they didn't go after Tucker. I think it's just a little bit too much of a risk. If you want him, you can try and trade again in August or the off season. But I mean, with Heel and this rotation. I mean, I'm going to pop a couple gummies, see a lot of Max Fried on Fridays, or should I say Max Fried Fridays.
Oh, okay.
Every time you throw the strike, I'm going to throw in another gummy.
Jeez.
And we're going to have a great season watching some pitching.
All right. If you make it through the night, I mean, how many gummies you play? Max Fried throws a lot of strikes, buddy. But listen, it's going to be fun. I like the fact that the Yankees doubled down on a strength, which is obviously the staff. I said this the other day. But you make it seem like 1-0 is going to be the norm. Now, they might have a couple of nights where they give up no runs, but there will be very few nights where the Yankees score one run because the Yankees are just getting going. Like, the Yankees lineup, I know Soto's gone. The Yankee lineup now and what it's going to look like on opening day, I absolutely believe it's going to look totally different. And I think, not all of you, because some of you are insatiable, I believe that the majority of intelligent, informed, rational Yankee fans are going to be pumped when they see the lineup.
I mean, maybe. But here's what, let's just go based off of the facts. And I like Max Fried, and they'll introduce him tomorrow. That's great. I mean, I don't think it's a big signing that everybody needs to make a huge deal of.
Why not? He's one of the best free agents. He's one of the best free agents. Forget about pitchers. One of the best free agents out there.
He's one of the top guys on the market. And I said he would have been my first choice.
Yeah, so you're not going to trot him out, do a little press conference with him in?
No, I mean, that's fair. Kind of saving face. The Yankees wanted Soto, didn't get him.
Yeah.
The Yankees wanted Tucker, didn't get him.
Well, hold on. There's a difference between the Soto and the Tucker. They didn't get Tucker because they didn't acquiesce to the Astros' demands.
Okay, and they didn't.
Well, no, but they controlled that. They decided not to.
Right, but
they couldn't convince Soto where to go. They could have struck a deal with the Astros if they wanted to. They elected not to. Now if you say they didn't get, you criticize them for not doing it, that's one thing. But, like, they were in the mix, and they were the ones who walked away. They didn't want to give up Hill.
Well, either way, they didn't do enough to get the player. So did they want the player or not? Because I'm confused. Because if you want him, then you should do whatever it takes to get him. Did they want Soto then? Because they didn't do whatever it took to get him. I mean, I don't know if they could have, but they didn't either have the resource. They didn't want him. They went all the way up. They still didn't get him. So strike one with Soto. They wanted Kyle Tucker. The reports were the Yankees are going to pursue him aggressively. They went on him. And then you hear, well, they didn't want to give up Hill. Okay, well, then did they really want him or not? I would say that they did want him, but typical Yankee fashion, they wanted him on their terms, on their price. So they're reluctant to give up money in certain spots. They're reluctant to give up prospects in other spots.
In their defense, and he's no longer a prospect because he won the Rookie of the Year, as you know. But it's not like they're just hugging these prospects and overvaluing like they always do. Now, I would have made the trade. I said that. I would have given up Lewis Hill. I've said that. But if Lewis Hill goes out and goes 17-7 this year with a 3.11 ERA and strikes out 190 guys, I don't know if anybody's complaining.
Right, but then why sign Max Fried? Do you need Cole Fried and Lewis Hill?
If you want to double down on what's already a strength, first of all, they said that this is not the case. I think deep down, and I understand this, they're probably a little worried, a little, you know, Cole, I'm getting a little bit older here, so you have a little more short.
That's legit.
That's being smart. So you got
insurance Cole. For Cole, which I like.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Garrett Cole still pitched very well. They just couldn't catch the ball in the World Series. I think Garrett Cole is still a horse. I think Max Fried is phenomenal.
Bullpen, they've loaded up.
Bullpen is absolutely stat. So the Yankees pitching staff, 1 through 12 or 1 through 30, whatever, however many they carry, can you make the case it's the best in baseball? I think you can. Now, if they don't get any...
I don't think it's better than the Dodgers, but I get the point.
Either way, but it's not one, it's two, if it's not two, it's one, if it's not one, it's three, whatever, it's in the conversation. Now, if the Yankees don't add multiple bats, what I'm saying right now goes out the window. And I've got a totally different tone. The bats are coming.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We come back. Brian Baldinger will join us, talk some more football. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. We'll get back to your calls in a little bit. Right now, we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Baldy, what have you thought overall of the quality of play in a league? I mean, the big game that was billed up all weekend, the Bills and Lions, I thought it was awful that you can't get a stop in the game. You look at the games last night, they've been atrocious. Overall, you watch the tape more than anybody. Where are you at with the quality of play?
It's substandard. There's very few solid, you know, really well-built teams. And so many teams right now are just so beat up. I mean, you look at, you know, the Giants and who's playing defense for them right now. Like, nobody knows any of those guys. Most of them. I mean, you know, for the majority. But, like, the teams are just so beat up right now that they're playing practice squad players. If you watch, you know, Detroit and Buffalo, good luck telling me who six starters are in Detroit on defense. So I think a big part of it is just, you know, the amount of injuries that a lot of these teams have sustained. And now you're playing players. I mean, Detroit's starting Quan Alexander, a linebacker. They picked him up at the bus stop a month ago, you know, and Buffalo went right after him with the running backs in the passing game. So, you know, when you look around the league, obviously we've got some really bad teams, you know, at the bottom, and they just, you know, they just can't build a, you know, a solid foundation. The Giants, you know, the Raiders, you go through some of these teams. But even the good teams are so beat up right now. The Pittsburgh Steelers look awful without George Pickens at wide receiver. And so that's where it's at right now. It's like, who's surviving to the playoffs right now?
Yeah. And listen, Baldy, obviously things could change. Guys get healthy. Guys get hurt that are healthy right now. But in your estimation, how many teams in the AFC, how many teams in the NFC can you actually see getting to the Super Bowl?
There's probably like a total of 8 teams. You know, they're going to get 7 in, you know, but realistically, you know, the Eagles deserve a spot. And, you know, Minnesota's a really well-built team, really good team. I mean, Green Bay and Detroit, they're all quality teams. Out west, I mean, Seattle just got thumped by Green Bay. They had won 4 in a row and looked like they'd turned the corner. So, you know, I'd say there's probably 4 teams in each division. Mahomes will get back healthy. They're you know, viable. Buffalo's viable. I would say a total of 4 right now.
Each
conference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I gotcha. And by the way, I like the question Sal asked because it does seem like it's just, you know, it's uninspiring for the most part week to week. Are we wrapped up in the moment, prisoners of the moment, or was this, you know, a trend that maybe developed a couple of years ago that we just didn't catch on to right away?
Well, I mean, you know, the pandemic changed a lot of things. You know, they all of a sudden, you know, practice squads went to 16 players. You know, it's like you got the B team out there on the field every day. And that's where teams are going right now. As soon as somebody gets plucked and, you know, when your running back goes down, like who's up on the practice squad that we can elevate, even though they may never have played. You're getting guys from the XFL that are playing for some of these teams right now because of depth issues. And so we're just getting a very diluted product. We, you know, even when this was a 12-team league back in the 40s and 50s, we didn't have enough good quarterbacks. And we certainly don't have enough good quarterbacks now with a 32-team league.
Oh, my God. I'm watching Desmond Ridder last night. I mean, the guy should not be in a league. He might be the worst quarterback I've ever seen. I've seen some bad ones. Bold. I mean, Desmond Ridder cannot take the field in an NFL game.
No, but the irony is he's the reason why Raheem Morris is the head coach in Atlanta. If they had a quarterback last year, they wouldn't have made a coaching change. But, you know, the quarterback play was so bad, including Desmond Ridder. I mean, he cost him a playoff spot last year. And the fact that he's like the fourth quarterback that have played for the Raiders this year and wasn't even on a squad, you know, in training camp. You know, he's out there playing, you know, trying to score a touchdown. I mean, it's dreadful to watch. If you don't have good quarterback play, honestly, on Sundays, it's almost an unwatchable product.
And that, you're right. And that's the biggest problem is that there aren't enough quality quarterbacks around the league, especially when you start factoring in injuries. Moving forward, Baldy, and whether it pertains to the Giants or maybe the Raiders, I guess, off of last night, would you hire both Deion and then draft his son, Shador? You like that package, 1-2, or top the draft if you're the Raiders or, say, the Giants?
I don't think that's enough for the package. I got to know who Deion is bringing in. I mean, you got to have quality assistant coaches. You got to develop players. Now I know he's got Warren Sapp working with him, and I would hire Warren to be my defensive line coach in a second. That guy is a smart guy, but it just depends on the staff. Like I'm smitten by Shador, but you know I watched them against, say, I don't know, Oklahoma State, and Travis Hunter's wide open, and Shador's throwing him, you know, a pass full of helium, and he walks into the end zone. I mean, you know, some of this stuff, you got to really go study some of these guys. You know, I don't believe he's Joe Burrow, but I don't know that he can't be Joe Burrow right now if he's the first pick in the draft. But I would be interested in Deion because I know he can inspire, and I know he's about not just player development, but human development as a person. I think that kind of grips him as much as anything. That's why I think he loves the college game. You get a chance to, you know, really mold 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. I think that's really important to Deion. But I would be very interested to know what's his assistant coach is going to look like. Because if you're not developing players right now, then you're simply not going to win in this business.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Boldy, let me push you in this direction. It's something I said on the show the other day. Let's say the Giants get the first overall seed and either Deion doesn't want to leave college or the Giants don't want Deion, but they're interested in his son, but they don't love him. They don't love Ward. I mean, the Giants are so bereft of talent. Would it be the worst thing in the world? And I know eventually you have to find a quarterback, but to just, you know, trade out of the first spot or maybe even the second spot and just stack something in the cupboards that represents above-average talent, they don't have much.
Well, I mean, look, that's what Chicago did, you know, 3 years ago. And they traded from 1-9. They got a boatload of picks. They haven't gotten any better. They're on a terrible losing streak right now. It doesn't guarantee anything. Bryce Young turned out to be maybe the wrong pick for Carolina. Time will tell, but it doesn't look good. So, you know, you could get the number one pick. You could trade out of the number one pick. It just depends on what you do with the boatload of picks that you might get if somebody really covets that number one slot. I mean, a lot of things have to kind of go in that direction. Like, not every year there's a true number one selection. We see that a lot. Some years there is. And so it's just a question of, you know, what's the leverage play for the number one pick? And what can you get? And is that guy going to be, you know, is that guy, man, I'm just using Joe Burrow because he's great, but is that guy going to be Joe Burrow or Josh Allen or, you know, one of these other star players at that position?
Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. The Jets, Baldy, yesterday interviewed Thomas Dimitroff. I personally love him. What do you think of Dimitroff and the Jets general manager / head coach search overall?
Well, Phil Savage is there right now. I think Phil's a quality guy. I mean, he's been in this business 30 years. I think he knows what talent looks like. I know Thomas Dimitroff really well. I mean, he did put together a, you know, a team in Atlanta that went to a Super Bowl, came within, you know, hired, you know, some good coaches there. Dan Quinn hired Kyle Shanahan, put together a good staff, put together a really good team and went all the way to, you know, to the brink against the Patriots. And they've never seen anything like that in Atlanta before or since. So he's got some, you know, he's got some things in his resume that, you know, make you perk up. And he's been involved in an analytics company here for the last 2 years, which probably gives him a head start in some of these things that actually do pertain to, you know, drafting certain players with certain characteristics and measurables and, you know, doing certain things game day on third down, fourth down, punt, 2-point try, those kind of things. He's on the cutting edge of all of that right now.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, do you think that around the league, the perception the last couple of weeks, I know the weather's been warm, I know the teams haven't been that good, but is Aaron Rodgers maybe perceived a little differently now than he was a month or so ago? He's playing better.
Well, he's thrown 13 touchdowns against one interception in the last seven games. He led the league. He led the team in rushing the other day on five scrambles. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers has ever led any team he's ever quarterback in rushing, but he was pretty good at it. Ran for three first downs on the five runs. He's moving better. Obviously, the second half with Davante Adams was about, it looked like Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase for much of this year. So, I mean, he has played a lot better, and he looks a whole lot healthier than at any point this season right now.
Would you bring him back if you're the Jets?
I would say you can't close the door on it.
Yeah.
You got to see what the availability or what your options are. I wouldn't chase him out of the building until I had a better option right now than Aaron Rodgers.
How about the Jets not taking Bill Belichick's call, Baldy?
I can't even believe Bill Belichick isn't coaching, you know, honestly, in this league. He's the best coach that we've ever seen on every level in our lifetimes. I mean, Vince Lombardi, whatever, Don Shula.
Give me Parcells.
He's the best coach we've ever seen. I can't believe he's not coaching.
No, he is at North Carolina. And imagine.
All right, I mean, look, okay, but I mean, maybe, I think he'll win at North Carolina. I think he'll win the ACC next year. That's how good of a coach I think he is. You might not want him picking the groceries like Parcells used to say, but at the same time, I want him coaching my football team. I want him getting the best out of every player at every position. The fundamentals are important. Like, that's what he emphasized every day. And then the schemes of what you did to take the number one threat away or to reduce a team to, you know, playing left-handed most weeks. I mean, there's nobody better than doing that than Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree, though. I did say if I'm starting a team, you know, I'll take Parcells over anybody in the history of the NFL for a couple.
I would say that, yes.
But you just mentioned the fundamentals in the scheme. And I got to be honest, Baldy, the fundamentals in the scheme didn't look too good. We didn't have Brady as the quarterback. It's true.
Defensively, they're still really good.
But they didn't win.
Mac Jones, I mean, you look at the guys that they had there. None of those guys are winning this league. Some of the guys who was playing at quarterback aren't even in the league. Bailey Zappe, you go through the list of guys. It was bereft of talent. In fact, they looked like this last year there, annoyingly, they looked like a bad expansion team. Now, is that all on him? Yeah, I mean, he had something to do with that. But, you know, you give that guy, and he had the number one defense in football for a lot of years with Willie McGinnis and Mike Vrabel and some of those guys that they had, Roddy Harrison. I mean, you know, Stephon Gilmore, he was a player of the year. I mean, he's had two defensive players of the year. He's got Hall of Fame players all over the place that he coached, at the Giants and at New England.
Did you find time yet, Baldy, to get your Christmas tree up?
Yes, I'm looking at it right now. Nice. I mean, I didn't have anything to do with it. My girlfriend did,
yeah,
and my nephew did, but I'm looking right at it. It's stunning right now.
Yeah, see, that's the key. Your girlfriend, your nephew. Yeah, you're busy.
I delegate. I'm like a good head coach.
There you go.
Delegate. That's
see,
what I do.
That's what I'm talking about, Bull. You're there watching games. You're going to games. You're breaking down film.
Yeah.
You got to delegate.
Come on, Bull. That's pathetic.
I don't
pathetic.
Have time to hang candy canes on the Christmas tree right now.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out who was playing on the Giants defense last Sunday.
I misread you, man. I thought you'd have a saw. I thought you'd cut it down yourself, throw it over your shoulder like a real old school. Come on.
Listen, there was a time before all of us got way too busy when we did that kind of stuff. And we had time. I don't know where time went anymore, but it's a luxury.
I'm with you, Baldy. God bless. We're probably not going to talk to you next week, so we're off. So, Baldy, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. We appreciate you joining us. Enjoy the rest of the football season. We'll talk to you on the other side.
Guys, we got college football playoffs starting up. We've got some great games coming up this weekend. Enjoy the season, and I'll talk to you soon, guys.
Thanks,
always
Baldy.
There you go. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. All of a sudden, BT, I'm not feeling that guilty anymore. Baldy doesn't have time. His girlfriend, his nephew, help him out. You know what? Mitch and Forley helps me out.
I'm hearing excuses from both of you guys. I mean, I'm also hearing an erosion of something that should be pretty damn important. Put the tree up.
Yeah. I will tonight. After Mitch dropped it off. We're good to go. Oh, God. All right. BT and Sal, the fan, we'll come back. Get to your calls. 888-808-1019.